Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Chris Risley, and I'd like to share a couple of insights I have found reading from the book of Deuteronomy. This is in Deuteronomy 27, Moses' final address to the people of Israel as they get ready to head into the Promised Land. And he says, starting in verse 1, "Then Moses and the leaders of Israel gave this charge to the people: obey all these commands that I am giving you today. When you cross the Jordan River and enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write this whole book of instruction on them when you cross the river to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. When you cross the Jordan, set up these stones at Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster as I am commanding you today. Then build an altar there to the Lord your God using natural uncut stones. Build the altar of uncut stones and use it to offer burnt offerings to the Lord your God. Sacrifice peace offerings on it, celebrating by feasting there before the Lord your God. You must clearly write all these instructions on the stones coated with plaster." So in reading these verses, it's clear from the start that even though God put spiritual leaders in place, the Israelites were all supposed to know his word. Jews and Christians are known as the people of the book. Even the Library of Congress recognizes that and describes it this way. They say the title, the people of the book, is about the Bible. It's a term deceptively simple but ultimately profound. It's an acknowledgement of the centrality of the Bible in the Jewish and Christian religion. Even non-Christians recognize that there's something special about people who know God's word and follow God's word. So the word is central to our walk with God. There's many excellent books out there about the Christian life, but the word itself is what is life-changing. Peter tells us in the book of 1 Peter that we need the word, we should long for it, as much as a newborn baby longs for milk. Psalm 119, verse 105 says that God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, that it keeps us safe and on track. Psalm 1 says that anyone who spends time in God's word will be like a tree planted by a stream of water, flourishing and bearing fruit. You need God's word. It needs to be a central part of your life. You can't just rely on other people to teach you as much as you can appreciate that. You need to be able to access it yourself. And so if it's so important, where can someone start? Well, I would not recommend starting in Genesis 1. Genesis can be really an excellent book, but it can also be confusing in parts. And even if you make it through the book of Genesis and the first part of Exodus, many people have come to a screeching halt when they get to Exodus 21 with more specific laws that don't apply to us today, or Exodus 25 with very specific instructions on how to make the tabernacle. No, it's better if you are not yet familiar with God's word, if you haven't spent time in it, to start in the New Testament, to turn to a place like the Gospel of John. What's great about the Gospel of John is that you can read half of a chapter or sometimes a full chapter each day, and it just shows you how Jesus interacts with people and gives you some basic teachings from him. If you want to go further, I would encourage you to Google 5x5x5 reading plan, which will get you through the New Testament in 1 year if you read 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And so we need to spend time in God's word in order to be able to follow him. Now, Israel's relationship with God is different than ours today, because in the Old Testament, they did have a covenant with God: live life his way and experience his protection, turn to other gods and lose his protection. It was a king and subjects. So it was a big shift when Jesus came along to tell us that God is our father. And a parent-child relationship is very different, that even when we turn away and lose our faith in God at times, that God remains faithful to us because he is our father. But there are still aspects of God's relationship with Israel that are helpful for us to contemplate. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses says, starting in verse 19, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Moses is saying there are two basic ways to live, that you can choose life or you can choose death. And this is what Jesus echoes in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, there's a road that leads to destruction and a road that leads to life. You can follow God or you can reject God. There's no middle way. And here in Deuteronomy 31, Moses is calling on the Israelites to choose life, to love God and be committed to him. God often compared his relationship with the Israelites to a marriage. And in marriage, the key is faithfulness. It's not perfection. I know I'm not the perfect spouse, and I don't expect perfection from my husband, but we're committed to each other through all the ups and downs. And that's ultimately what God wants from you and from me. He wants you to hang in there, to not give up, to not turn to anything else but him to find life, to remain a committed and faithful follower of his through all of the ups and downs. And that's why God has given us his word. So I want to spend the rest of our time today considering how the word sustains us in our walk with God. I already referred to Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word gives us the guidance that we need to stay on track. Spending time in his word on a regular basis reminds me of what God cares about, including his love and his care for me. Now, what's challenging about this verse is that I want God's word to be like Google Maps. I want it to show me the route so I know how to get there. Better yet, give me a couple of options and I will pick which one I prefer. But this verse says that God's word is more like a flashlight or a lantern on a camping trip. It shows you what's right in front of you, but not much further. Now, in our day of light pollution, that feels very limiting. And in some ways it is, because God is not going to show you his plan for you next year or even the specifics of next month. He'll tell you when you get there. But on the other hand, I've had some friends who have been out on camping trips, and I remember a story that I heard about years ago, friends who went on a camping trip that included some hikes. And they set off to climb a mountain, and a few people got lost on the way down. So they didn't reach the trailhead before the sun went down, and they did not expect to do any night hikes, so they didn't bring any headlamps. They groped their way down that mountain, and by God's grace, they reached the bottom safely. But boy, did they long for just a little bit of light. So God limits the amount of light that he gives us, but let's not lose sight of the blessing of the light that we do have, that he provides the guidance that we need every single day, and we need to take advantage of that. So we have the guidance that we need. There's a verse in the New Testament that also talks about the blessings of God's word for our life, and it's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God." God's word needs to be a central part of our relationships and our community. God has put people into my life so that we can help each other. It says we can teach each other. We can give direction to other people based on what God says. God's word says that we can admonish one another, that we can actually correct each other when we go off track. And so when someone asks for advice, do you ask God to give you a verse that you can share? When you want to address an area where someone is struggling, can you find a passage that speaks to it? What's great about that is then I have confidence that it's not my opinion that I'm giving, but God's word that I'm sharing with people. And so that's something that I try to remind myself of regularly. People don't need my opinion or my thoughts. They need God's truth. And so I would encourage you to consider, as you're trying to spend time in the Word, how can you use this in somebody else's life? What can you share with them? Don't be afraid to Google what are helpful verses on anxiety, on anger, on parenting. But also, just as you're reading each day, ask God to show you a friend that you could share a verse with. I had a friend lose her dad very suddenly, and for a month after that, it felt like there was a verse every single day that made me think of her. And I just texted it over without any expectation of a response. And over a year later, she told me how sustaining those verses were every day. So I would just like to encourage you to find ways to spend time in God's Word, because the Word will come to life for you and you'll be able to use it in the lives of other people. Thanks for listening. My hope and prayer is that we will become people of the Word who are able to use the Word to bless other people. For more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.